Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call it 664-SEASONS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, we got to get right to it here with Dave Murray because we got weather that is blanketing the area. Sue has showed me a couple of images from the traffic cams. There is no visibility. But Dave, how are you this afternoon? Let's get the information out there.
I'm doing great.
A lot of weather moving in, right?
Yes, there is. Yeah, you know, if you're in downtown St. Louis and you're looking off to the west, southwest, it looks like the end of the world is coming. But and there's a line of thunderstorms. The only tornadic system I have right now is near DeSoto, pushing towards Hillsboro, Barnhart, Peavely, Festus, and in time close to Arnold. That's going to stay south of downtown St. Louis. Looks like it's weakening a little bit, but there's also a line of thunderstorms, strong thunderstorms, just pushing through western St. Louis County now and headed for downtown. So the prime time is going to be now until about 6 o'clock tonight, as far as Metro St. Louis is concerned. The heavy, heavy stuff, the real severe weather, and I know this is going to rock and roll, but it's going to be south of Farmington, Chester to Pinckneyville to Lake Carlisle. So southeast Missouri and southern Illinois, that's a little later on into the evening hours. And then there's a major, major severe weather outbreak that's going to take place across eastern Arkansas, the boot heel of Missouri, extreme southern Illinois into western Tennessee and Kentucky. That's going to happen later on tonight. So we do have thunderstorms here for the next hour to 2 hours. Some severe, but it's not a widespread outbreak. But boy, it is going to rain and it's going to rock and roll for about 20 minutes in any particular neighborhood, and then it blows by.
And then, Dave, as I look toward the next, you know, few days or so, it looks like we have quite a bit of rain moving in just after this round of storms, right?
Yeah, the front that's causing our stuff now is going to stall out just to our south. It's going to wave around, and every time it waves, we get a wave of rain. This thing's not moving at all. It's going to be around until about noontime on Sunday. So we're talking Thursday afternoon, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning across St. Louis, looking at a bare minimum of probably 2 to 4 inches of rain. Southeast Missouri and southern Illinois could be looking up to 10 inches of rain. So over an extended period of time, we're talking some flash flooding, especially the small streams and creeks. We'll have to keep an eye on the big rivers. The good news is that most of the rain is going to be like St. Louis south and east. So we're not getting a lot of rain up to our north, but which usually caused the big river problems. But there's going to be flooding across the St. Louis area as we go through this time frame. Not going to be raining all the time, but when it does, it's going to be heavy. And then there's some signs of late weekend into early next week of a major snowstorm across the Great Lakes and the Northeast. So it is rock and roll.
We panicked momentarily.
Oh my gosh, Dave, you said snowstorm, and we all went,
yeah, exactly. Well, because you've even pointed out that sometimes we get, you know, you can get a heavy April snow here. We've had them before.
Absolutely.
You know what, Dave?
Yeah, we've had
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, we've had opening days where it snowed.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. I saw on social media, you know, they do, yeah, this is what happened. This is what you posted 11 years ago today. And it was a guy, a friend of mine, driving through a hailstorm. So this isn't terribly unusual, is it? It's just shocking when it happens.
Oh, no. Yeah, the thunderstorm setup. This is classic, you know, late March, April, and that will take us into May. What is unusual is that the system gets stuck in April. Usually things are rocketing along and moves out. So the length of this rain coming up once we get through the storms today. So we're really talking after Thursday afternoon. That's unusual to get stuck like that.
I am so glad I did a rare smart thing today because I was looking at that forecast. I cut the lawn because I knew it was probably going to be impossible for the next few days.
Excellent.
So I'm happy I did that. And Dave, before we let you go, I have to ask you because I've been raving about this and telling everyone they should watch it. Have you taken time to watch the documentary about the Joplin tornado on Netflix?
I have not yet, but it is on the list. Supposedly, it's super.
Super. You won't be able to turn it off. It's incredible. It really is. And especially for someone like you, so familiar with all the way that these things happen, I think you'll be particularly, you know, blown away. But thank you so much for the update this afternoon. We really appreciate
it. You got it.
All right, there we go. So sirens going off, a lot of rain. That was encouraging. He said maybe after 6 in the immediate area, it's going to slow down a little bit. But to the south, more severe weather. By the way, Alex Rich from Y98 visits on a Wednesday. He's here. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Were you going to say something about the weather?
Well, I was. It explains a little bit because for the people that plan to go out to the Savannah Bananas games that were here in town this weekend, that's the big, it's ultimately the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball is how
that's
I describe it. But if people were going to go out to there, they did postpone those games till July. So Dave,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
They did that today
they
already?
And I'm glad Dave gave that update because, you know, when you know about the weather coming up for the weekend, it is because, you know, people are upset. You know, the plans get changed now. People can't go. People are on vacations in the summertime. But with a little bit of the explanation and hearing how the weather really is going to be this weekend, it makes a lot more sense.
It sounds like maybe they made the right call. Look, that whole event blows me away because I talked to Joe Stromo of the Cardinals about this. Mm-hmm. They barely had to put them on sale before they sold out.
That's how popular.
There's fan club stuff.
Two nights.
Where there was some access.
Two nights. I didn't realize it was two.
Packed full.
Right. So I get it because that could have been pretty uncomfortable. It's a family thing, and maybe they did make the right call. But then again, to your point, there's going to be some scheduling difficulties if they do it. And then, of course, in the middle of the summer, it's hotter than hell.
Right.
But what are you going to do? Because that was supposed to be, Friday and Saturday
Friday,
night?
Friday, Saturday night.
And Dave used to be the official Cardinals meteorologist, so he knows what he's talking about.
Right.
It just makes me wonder if they called him again.
Well, now it better rain.
They called someone.
It better rain.
There's no
this
doubt
weekend.
Whoever the new one is.
Well, and I think it's going to. If you look at these patterns that he's referring
Sunday,
to.
It's Wednesday.
But you mentioned you just cut your grass. How is the grass looking? I'm excited for this rain because I need it. I just put my grass seed down.
It looks fantastic, dude.
The Scotts?
Yes.
The Scotts seed. There's nothing better. I use it every single year on my grass.
You know what's interesting, though? Because I went into this whole thing last year, and you can literally tell, at least on my grass, because I guess the seed, the strain is different, whatever, but it's like a brighter green. But you
the
can
strain.
See how much
what
is
kind
coming
of grass
through.
Are we talking
about? Okay, you get what I'm talking about, right?
It's
the only word that I came up with there. It's the wrong word talking about weeds and stuff like that. Yes, but my point is, I can look in my backyard, and the newer seed is like a little bit longer than the regular grass, and it's got more.
Well,
last year,
you remember I did the steps out of order last year, the Scott's four step. I did the step two because I clearly didn't read the bags.
And how did that work out for you?
You know, it worked out. My grass is looking thicker than it was before. It's nice to look out there every year and see just a little bit more, but you can tell just with that Scott's, it gets thicker and thicker, and it's just...
Ace Hardware is where you can get that, right, Alex?
They deliver it right to you.
There you go. All right, let's do this here this afternoon.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
You guys, I did not know this. Okay, there is on this day in history that I hadn't ever heard of, and it's baseball related, so I've got the right crowd in here. Let's see what we hear. 94 years ago today, that's 1931, Fred, during an exhibition game between the New York Yankees and the Chattanooga Lookouts, 17-year-old Jackie Mitchell, who is a girl, struck out Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig on 7 pitches.
Wow.
Now, did you know that, Fred? Because
yeah,
you
knew
know
that
all
one.
That crazy stuff.
You
I
did.
Knew all that, but that's pretty much all I know about it. Yeah.
I looked it up a little bit more, and obviously she was a great athlete, but she had a neighbor who taught her a sinker, and I'm guessing that's probably what did it. But that's incredible. 17-year-old yeah. female.
That is incredible.
I mean,
yeah,
holy
insane.
Toledo. That was 94 years ago today.
Wouldn't that be a fun fact? Like, you know, if that was you, be like, I struck out, you know,
right.
Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, seven pitches.
Two of them. Boom, boom.
Back to back.
Out.
By the way, we should mention, because we're talking baseball, the Cardinals got the game in, thankfully, today earlier, and they won. And
they
almost blew it again. It was like they had a lead, and then they gave up a lead, and there was a grand slam. Sonny gave up a grand slam. He actually had a really good outing, but Ivan Herrera, Alex Rich, hit 3 home
runs. Wait, you're
runs.
Kidding me. I passed you in the hall out here, and you
we
said
were losing.
You said no way Sonny Gray gave up the grand slam.
Yeah.
You're telling me they came,
we
back,
came back
and won that
yeah.
game?
We won 12-5.
Unbelievable.
Ivan, there has never been, even with Yadier Molina, there's never been in history a Cardinals catcher that has hit 3 home runs in one day. Ivan Herrera did it today.
Have a
yeah,
day.
They rolled. It was great.
That is cool. And on this day in history, just a little music with this one, Mark, just because I like Scott Joplin. But 51 years ago today, in 1974, The Sting beat out The Exorcist, Serpico, and American Graffiti for Best Picture at the Academy Awards. And if you haven't watched this in a while, have you ever seen it?
I have not.
Oh, I think you might like
it. I love
it.
This little, this
oh,
is the, just classic,
the entertainer.
Scott Joplin
this is,
here.
You know,
is
I went
great.
On this 70s rant and watched a bunch of 70s movies. I'm kind of doing some 80s and 90s now, but I had never gone back to watch this one. This would be a good choice.
It's wonderful. Fred?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Okay.
It's been a while, though, for me. I mean, it's probably been 40 years since I've seen this movie. I started a movie last night that I'm rather enjoying.
Well, ooh.
I think it's from the 90s, Clear and Present Danger.
Oh, my gosh, Harrison Ford?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good. And I don't remember a lot of it.
It's a good one.
So it's one of the Jack Ryan movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of Harrison Ford, they have nothing to do with each other, but there was Scott Bakula was at the Blues game last night.
Awesome.
Oh, love it.
And he was sitting next to my friend's mom, and we couldn't figure out who it was for the longest time. He kind of has a little bit of a Harrison Ford older look to him.
I believe
he I'll have to show you guys the picture.
He graduated from Kirkwood a little bit before me.
Mm-hmm.
He was my very, very first celebrity television interview.
Is that right?
I did it because
oh,
there was a movie that
nice.
Came out. He was awesome.
Okay,
he
good.
Was awesome. I was in Columbia doing stuff at the time for KMIZ, and they somehow had a junket locally, and I drove up to St. Louis. The reason I remember this, too, is there was a guy by the name of George Brown. George, I think, is in Kentucky or Tennessee or something like that. He was a J-school kid that I knew, and he worked at Channel 17. And I drove to St. Louis on I-70 that day. And have you ever driven with someone, and then you basically say to yourself, I'm never driving with that person again?
Definitely.
Because he was a left lane hogger.
Ooh.
He went below the speed. And you can't really, I didn't know him well enough to say, hey, George, like, pick it up. But that's the weird things that you remember from an event like that.
It is.
You know, Scott Bakula, my favorite performance by him was in Star Trek. Generations.
Of course, I've never
Captain
seen that.
Captain Archer.
Was he? Aww.
Through the years of that.
Look, he's done, I'm guessing that his bank account is pretty flush from
all
the
I looked it up. I looked it up.
He's stuff,
worth,
right?
His net worth is $16 million.
Not too shabby.
I looked it up last
what
night.
Was that
I was
CBS
curious.
Show he did for the longest time? It was in New Orleans.
Yeah, the New Orleans show.
What the heck?
Was it
was
one of
like
the CSI?
CSI
or something?
I don't think so.
CSI?
I think it's the other one.
Oh.
Well, maybe. I don't think it, I thought, well, look it up. Will you look it up? All right. Actor Val Kilmer passed away yesterday, and I really liked him. His daughter, Mercedes, told the New York Times he died of pneumonia. He
NCIS
was 65.
Norms.
That's
NCIS
it.
Norms.
It's NCIS. Yeah. What were you going
to
say?
No, I want you to continue about Val Kilmer. Sorry, but I had something to say about him as well.
He started out as a stage actor in the early 80s, and then he was a star in Hollywood, and he was in, let's see, he had early roles, and I didn't realize this, in comedies. Top Secret and Real Genius, and then, of course, Top Gun, where he was Iceman, and Willow, and Jim Morrison in The Doors. And I, of course, loved him in Batman Forever. We've got a little bit of that.
Wait. I have a riddle for you.
Really?
Jim Carrey.
Tell me. I see without seeing. To me, darkness is as clear as daylight. What am I?
Please! You're as blind as a bat!
You don't exactly. have to play the whole thing.
Well, it's almost over. There you go. I will say this, that I found out about this morning with an alert from the LA Times as I woke up on my iPad, and it only took them four paragraphs to get into the fact that everyone hated working with Val Kilmer. This is the fourth paragraph. Kilmer's reputation was such that the starring roles dwindled in the late 2000s after his last critically acclaimed performance in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. But they go into, you know, well, look, he did have a lot of issues. And he had a lot of issues on set. He had IRS issues. But, man, maybe give it a day before you do all that, right?
And that's the truth.
But he was young. And, you know, thank goodness he had that appearance in Top Gun Maverick where, you know, he was typing things out on the
computer. That was really nice of them, I thought, to put him in there.
It was.
I thought that was great.
And that lives forever now.
SpaceX has launched the first crewed polar orbit spaceflight, and this was yesterday. It's going to orbit the Earth over its poles, and apparently that's unusual. It's called the Fram 2 mission. Fram apparently was the name of the ship that first made it to both the Arctic and Antarctic areas of this planet, and it's flying at a 90-degree angle to the equator, which is, I guess, difficult.
I would think it would be difficult from the perspective of the wind and the currents, right?
But yeah, that's what they're saying. It's a private mission. They've got four non-astronauts aboard. They should be up there for 5 days. They're going to test things like, can you grow mushrooms and how X-ray imaging works in space.
Kron wasn't crazy about it.
Elon Musk has a lot on his plate. But you're still pulling this stuff off. I find that kind of interesting. And I wondered if you guys, I'm sure you talked about the NFL rule changes yesterday. Have you been discussing it or no?
I think men do, but I think some of this is kind of emerging very quickly from the meetings. And one of the things that I was following is they're trying to ban the tush push. And I think that's ridiculous to ban it. They're claiming that it's an injury issue.
You like a little tush push.
I do, Alex.
He's always said that.
But I don't think there's any evidence to support injuries. They just don't like the advantage that the Eagles and the Bills have. So
aren't they putting that off for now, I think?
They are for now. But then the rules, I think they're going to keep the kickoffs the way that they were.
Touchbacks on kickoffs will be at the 35-yard line.
Where were they? At the 25?
30 or 25. I think it was 25.
At the 35?
Yes.
I honestly thought they were at the 20-yard line.
Oh, I thought it was 25.
Well, then why the hell wouldn't you have a touchback? And you're going to start at mid...
Field position.
I don't like that. Yeah, that seems weird to me.
And now each team will get a possession in overtime. This is regular season. In overtime... And it will be 10 minutes. So it's still 10 minutes, but everybody gets a possession.
Right. So the way that worked previously, just to clear up the confusion on it, is you would get a possession if the other team did not score a touchdown.
Right.
Like if they scored a field goal, you get a possession. But if they scored a touchdown, game over, right?
Correct.
Now, even if you score a touchdown, if the other team scores a touchdown, you'll still have an opportunity
to touch the ball.
You wonder how long some of these games are going to go.
Exactly.
How many overtimes
but they said
these games?
Only 10 minutes. So I don't know what they're supposed to do. Then you end it in a tie? I don't know.
Yeah, they'll end it in a tie, which is unfortunate. But, you know, we had a season a few years ago where I think there were like three or four ties, which is, you know, kind of ridiculous when you think about it. Look at this. I'm looking this up.
Kind of like soccer.
I don't like this.
I don't like it. Yeah.
I don't like the 35-yard line for kicks in the end zone.
That's pretty good field
position.
Why would
you ever bring the ball out of the end zone?
You got a great point. There's no reason to.
No,
they say
no
it's to increase the return rate.
I think it's going to decrease the return rate.
Yeah, I'm sure you. I don't know. That's what they're saying.
You understand?
We must be reading this all wrong.
If you're going to bring the ball out from the end zone and you're going to the 30, the goal is, well, I'm going to get it past the 30, right? Ethan, you got context here that I'm missing.
Yeah, here's what's going to happen is because the last couple of years in the NFL. Kickers just kick it to the back of the end zone. The whole idea has been like they want that is considered the most dangerous play in football because everyone's running full speed at each other.
No, I get all that.
That's what the thing has been the last couple of years. What's going to happen now is this will, I imagine that kickers will not.
I'm reversing it. In other words, the incentive is going to be there for the team that kicks to not kick it to the end zone.
Right.
Because if they do kick it to the end zone.
Correct.
Okay, that makes a little bit more sense.
More interesting returns.
Yes.
But I still think, man, if you could let it go to the end zone, why wouldn't you?
Oh, no, totally, because there's incentive for it now.
Yeah, okay,
incentive. The kicker now, you know, doesn't want to get up there and boot it all the way.
They'll try to kick it to the 20,
which is so backwards, though, because the last couple of years, it's all been about player safety, and this doesn't really, in my opinion, promote
player
safety.
Now they want them to run it out.
That's confusing,
Maybe
too.
It's because they are lining up at a different spot on the field, so there's not as much momentum to be
so
gained.
Yeah, that's part of it.
That's probably part of it, I guess. We'll see how it goes.
By the way, I thought it was funny that Detroit, the Lions, wanted to get rid of the penalty of an automatic first down when defensive holding and illegal contact are called, but everybody said, nope, we're keeping it.
See, I kind of would have liked that to have gotten a little bit more of a look, because what happens in that situation is, like, if you got a regular pass interference down, you know, downfield, look, some quarterbacks are tossing it up there just to try to get the interference, right? And when you get those first downs automatically, I don't know, that would be controversial, I guess, but I understand why they proposed that. I'm a little surprised it didn't get more support.
Maybe it will in future years. And finally, in Sue's news, we have today's random fact, and this is random. 1 pound of dimes and 1 pound of quarters are worth the same amount. 200 dimes weigh 1 pound and are worth $20, and 80 quarters weigh 1 pound and are worth $20.
See, those are my favorite random facts
because totally worthless.
They kind of in, but you got to think about it a little bit.
Yeah, you do.
And
kind of makes
like
my head hurt.
Yeah,
exactly. About that,
I know. That's because we have tiny brains, Alex Rich, you and I. Susan Fred's much bigger. We're coming back. It's a Wednesday afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk with storms surrounding us.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is gloomy out there downtown. Storms moving across the area. Lots of tornado sirens. Dave Murray says a lot of this here in the metro is going to be gone a little after 6 o'clock. But to the southwest in particular, a lot of rain and more serious storms. And then we got a ton of rain. He said 2 to 4 inches over the next couple of days moving in. So that's not a lot of fun. We mentioned the Blues. Alex Rich from Y98 visits on a Wednesday. Sue and Fred are in the room. We had a Cardinals victory at Busch Stadium this afternoon. But you went to the hockey game last night. So here again, Fred, I'm kind of getting used to this thing because I signed up. I get FanDuel now through Amazon, right? And I like it because usually the first thing I see when I go to Amazon to Prime, it says the Cardinals, like when they're playing. But I didn't see the Blues up there last night, but I saw the score scroll and they were down 1-0. I'm like, all right, there they are. They're finally lose like I did the other. And they came back and they won again.
Yeah. It was awesome. It was awesome. Everybody was on the edge of their seat. I think they scored with like, I don't know the exact time, but I want to say it was like literally less than 15 seconds left.
It was 29 seconds.
Oh,
okay,
really?
It was 29 seconds. And, man, the place was bumping when they scored that goal because you could tell that's everybody was like kind of defeated. People felt like, you know, they always have a chance to do something great, and then they blow it. But they didn't blow it. And it was that was, I think, what was cool about it is like me specifically, I always feel like my team is like – We can never just get the job done when it needs to get done. Like, you think that something great's going to happen, and nothing great ever really happens. And this was just, it was cool to see everybody, like, of course the players didn't give up, right? But, like, it, you could feel the fan energy in there. People stayed till it was a Wednesday night or Tuesday night. People stayed till the very end of the game. Then they came out in that overtime and scored, and, man, the place was electric.
That's fun.
A lot like the 2019 season.
Look,
right,
Scotty Warman has said that. Kerber kind of agreed when he was on with us yesterday. It's exciting. It really is.
Yeah.
My friend in Las Vegas, Rick Niner, he's from here originally, but he's really become a Golden Knights fan, and they have season tickets, and he's pumped because, you know, there's a good chance now that the Blues play the Golden Knights because I think they might beat out the Wild for the, you know, the top playoff spot. So that could be interesting. So a lot of fun here moving into this month. And by the way, let me just say this about the Cardinals, because Fred, you know, I watched these last two games. They won today, and there weren't very many people in the stadium today because it was a day game. But last night and the night before, both extra inning games, not a lot of people, but damn it, those fans stayed till the end.
I mean, everyone
that was in the ballpark was still there in the 11th inning, which was kind of amazing because it was cold last night. I'm looking at these fans thinking, man, that's pretty brave to be out there in baseball when it's basically maybe it wasn't as cold last night. The night before it was.
And when the ball players have, like Arenado has the face mask all the way up, you know it's cold.
Yeah, Mason Wynn did too. I don't blame him.
By the way, April baseball.
Mason Wynn and Wilson Contreras both got hits today. They had been 0-for for the entire season. Mm. And then Ivan Herrera hits three home runs.
Torpedo bat. That's
what do you
what
think about those? Did you guys have this conversation?
We really haven't. I mean, I did use something from Major League Baseball as like a little explainer yesterday, audio cut of the day. But Alex, look, you played collegiate baseball at Indiana. What do you know about these bats? They're legal, right? They're just, the sweet spot is essentially...
Yeah, you're growing the sweet spot. I mean, I don't know a ton about wood and the physics behind wood, but, you know, if you have a harder, bigger part of the bat in one specific area, then it just seems like it's going to make a lot more sense. I mean, overall, it seems to meet all of the guidelines that they need to meet as far as the big leagues goes.
Yeah, until someone complains
about it.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. It's like, at what point, how long do we think this is going to go before the MLB steps in and says, oh, you know, the weight ratio has to be this and has to,
well,
you know.
It might be interesting, though. I mean, if you're going to get a bunch of offense here and the fans are liking it, maybe they don't.
Well, that's the thing. You know, you have the pitch clock, those types of things that have sped the game up a little bit. But you really have, I think a couple of years ago, the balls, they tried to deaden the balls a little bit and those types of things. I do think that, especially look, like the Cardinals, like you said, if they have minimal people in the seats and they're trying to get some more people out there, like, I don't think that this hurts anything at all. People go to big league, major league games to see these guys hit big league fly balls. They go to see these guys hit home runs. And I think, you know, it could light a little bit of a fire under some of these teams if this keeps rolling like this.
Well, not everyone's, like Aaron Judge isn't using them, right?
Right.
So it's just going to be preference at this point.
Well, the weight of it, I mean, look, like there's, when you pick up a wood baseball bat, there's bats that when they're super top heavy, you can tell, and some people prefer that and they like to swing them faster, and that it gives them that ability to do that. Some people like the weight more evenly distributed, so that's probably, you know, Aaron Judge doesn't necessarily need that extra help or strength to come around on the ball. But when you have that top heavy bat and it's more the weight's in the middle there towards the top of the bat, you're coming around quick and that thing just kind of whips around and you're able to knock the ball out of the park a little bit easier.
So they're different because they have the torpedo shape, and that comes from, as we indicated, redistributing the weight to the most dense part or the sweet spot, as Alex indicated. But one of the things, and I just looked into this, The Athletic, which is part of the New York Times, they said in a piece that they did yesterday that these bats have been around quietly in MLB. There's minor league players, there's some major league players that have used them, but they're picking up, you know, interest. Obviously, what happened with the Yankees, I think it's maybe a combination between the Yankees being really good and able to hit a lot of home runs and the torpedo bat, but there's no doubt that they're not under the radar anymore.
I think the MIT physicist who designed it now works for the Miami Marlins, so we'll see what happens.
Makes a lot
there.
More sense there.
I have a question for Alex when we're done talking about the torpedo bat about a catcher hitting. I heard an interview with Pedro Páez yesterday saying, you know, he's a catcher and he's trying to train his mind when he comes to bat to think like a hitter and not like the catcher.
Yeah.
And try to, you know, assume you can guess, you know, as a catcher what ball is coming. Did you ever have that problem as a catcher?
That's interesting because especially as a catcher that calls the game, right? Like you kind of have an idea of what pitches should be thrown in certain situations. But then at the same time, if the other team is doing their part in studying and watching film and knowing how to pitch to you, then in theory, they would say, okay, he's thinking like a catcher, so he's going to know what pitches are coming. So I guess to combat that, the pitcher would then realistically, if they're a good pitcher following those steps, not throw to the catcher like they're going to throw to everybody else in the lineup. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right, I think, you know, I also like to think that the catcher, when the catcher, depending upon the relationship between the catcher and the umpire during the game, I always used to like to think that the umpire would give me a little bit more grace as far as wouldn't call the close pitch that he's going to call on other people, you know, if you're back there farting on him and whatnot.
Because you were sucking up to him a little bit. I mean, I could see
absolutely.
There's
a schmoozing game. You're over there, you know, how's the family? You're having all of those. Those guys are for sure having those conversations with the umpires. There's no doubt in my mind because you're back there with them for how long are ball games these days? 2.5 hours.
Yeah. The game.
And dude, I'm telling you, if you're not keeping that umpire safe and blocking the balls, it's gonna come back bite you when you're up to bat. Your job is to be a wall back there and protect the umpire. And you know, if you want calls to go your way, I think those are all things that factor in.
Well, it's human nature, right?
It's human nature. Sure. Now it is interesting to see with, you know, being able to challenge the calls and whatnot this year, where that will impact on some of those things. You know, I'm sure certain calls will be overturned throughout the year, whatever. But I think all of those things are majorly important. I was going to ask what you guys thought of, speaking of catchers, another catcher, Wilson Contreras, with the, did you see the chewing the tape?
No.
You didn't see this video?
No, I haven't seen this.
Well, kind of to sum it up, you'll have to
Fred,
check this out.
Fred, you've seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Okay.
It was so interesting. He was at the plate the other night, and I guess the tape on his bat was unraveling. The pitch clock was, I guess, down to about 8 seconds or something. So they talked to him in this interview, and they're like, basically the video is him unraveling the tape off of his bat, and then he throws the tape in his mouth and starts chewing it like gum. And people are like, what in the... This kind of went, I guess, a little bit viral other night.
Yeah, it did go viral.
All over. Everybody was posting this, talking about it.
How did I miss this?
Crazy people saying things like, he has drugs on that tape.
Yeah,
it didn't help him get a hit at all.
Right.
But the video is good. You definitely have to pull up this video if you've got some time to watch. But he pulls
Did he have an explanation?
Well, he said, so he was interviewed. His explanation was that because the pitch clock only had a little bit of time left, he didn't have time to do anything else with the tape other than
throw
it in his mouth. I guess he didn't want to litter the field. I don't know, man. It was crazy to watch, but like he got a good laugh about it afterwards. But
that's
comments for sure, like Fred said, it was like, oh, you know, don't mind me. People do those voiceovers and stuff. It's like, don't mind me. I need a little snack.
They get clever on the Instagram, et cetera. That is fascinating. And I missed them. By the way, you got a hit today, so that's good.
I love it.
Hang in there. We're coming back with more crazy traffic because of the weather. You know what I had to do today? Yeah, because it kind of took a dump a couple of days ago, and can't even tell you the last time I did this. I had to buy a new microwave oven, like the stove microwave oven.
Really?
Went to Lowe's, got one of those. Yeah, it started making, like I was making a breakfast burrito 2 mornings ago, and that worked. But then I tried to put, I can't remember what it was. I tried to put something in there just to warm it up a little bit later, and then it was making all these crazy noises.
Laughing at you saying you were making a breakfast burrito. Okay. You mean
I was microwaving. Yes. I wasn't like folding the burrito. I was just putting it in there. So it worked. Like Tuesday morning, or no, maybe it was Monday morning, I had the breakfast burrito. Love those. Put ketchup on my breakfast.
Okay.
I love it. But then I was trying to do, I think it was oatmeal, and I did it for like the 3 minutes and like nothing happened. And I noticed that it was making the noise. and it just seemed to be something that needs to be replaced. So here's the challenge is, Alex, I'll ask you, I think I know the answer from Fred, but I'll say it anyway. Has anyone ever installed one of these things your own?
It's funny you ask. I actually did.
Did
and it
really?
Was difficult. Yeah, because I'm not great at stuff like this at all.
Nor am I.
I'm not. But
you did it on your own?
I did.
Did you YouTube it?
You cheated. I kind of half did it on my own. Annie's brother came over and installed the new one originally. Mm-hmm. It didn't work. It was like a lemon. I got a lemon.
Okay. Yeah.
So I was then able to take it down and then put the new one up, but the bracket was already up for me.
Yeah.
So
you cheated.
I cheated.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, but your bracket will be up.
Well, that sounds like a personal issue, but I don't even know. Like, I have a handyman guy. We call him Phil Handyman. I always kind of joke. We don't even know his last name.
Think you
Alexa
have him
calls
do
him
it.
Phil Handyman. He says he can do it. But Phil is incommunicado. I texted him this morning and I said, hey, going to get the microwave. Then I said, got the microwave. He's gone dark.
You're waiting for him to reply.
Phil's going to reply eventually.
I had a follow-up question to the microwave itself and you getting a new microwave. Mm-hmm. At what point, because the microwave I wouldn't say is a, one of the overly expensive large appliances.
Well, it wasn't too bad.
But at what point do you see if the microwave can be fixed? Were you past that point?
Oh,
you
yeah.
just went straight to, I'm getting a new one?
I'm guessing this is the original microwave from the original
kitchen.
Okay,
it was like ready
so
to go anyway.
About 12 years old or something like that.
That's fair.
So, but you know what? I even said this to Becky and Alexa. I thought it would take a dump long before this. I really did. I kind of
sensed it.
It might have. So anyway, I'm getting the new one.
I like an Amana. I'm just saying that we've had good experience with Amana. I'm just going to toss it out there for you.
But I was trying to match the rest of the appliances.
Oh,
so I went
with that's big.
Frigidaire. But you know what? The guy talked me into the warranty, too, like the 3-year warranty, because I don't know, man. It was like,
I feel like
40...
if it goes out in 3 years, it's automatically included, dude. I think they stole money.
No, it was a year
you.
Warranty.
They
you know,
totally
I'm telling
did.
You, they don't let those warranties go very long. Man. So he got me for $40 extra. That's all I can say. Alex, great to see you.
Pleasure.
All right, we're coming back with a third hour here.
Get more at 971talk.com.